And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Parmack, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
This is TTN at the Movies, episode 9 for October 23rd, 2017. TTN at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like Hanging with Heavy, CFL Easy Picks, and STFU. Welcome back to TTN at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before I get to the panel this week, get into the contact information. TTNATM.com coming soon. Probably going to be next week. I'll have a bit of time as I will be off of work so I can design a little site there. Get ready for you. Some archival episodes as well from our OSATM. I have all of them. So if you want to check them out, we did so many good episodes on all kinds of retro stuff as well. You can email me, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com for the time being, and at STFU Old School on Twitter. My two co-hosts this week, the Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset.
If there's a need for a rescue mission, when the world is threatened, and the world needs help, it calls on America. So I know who's asked to kick.
I'm still waiting on the Trump intro.
And we've got Killer Carpe Diem.
Dude, where's my car? Where's your car, dude?
That intro is going to be huge. It's going to be the biggest intro ever. It's going to be just surrounded with water, lots of water, because it's going to be a huge intro that's surrounded by water.
I'm going to throw paper towels at it.
I'm helping.
I don't know if you know this or not.
That's okay.
I didn't hear it.
No, just said, I don't know if you know this or not. He says it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I believe. I don't know if you've heard, but if me and Old School live, we've got our own super racism going on right now. So,
okay, here's what I want to say. We mentioned this, I think, on CFL Easy Picks, what would it be now, 2 weeks ago. This is what I want to see at the Browns game. I want to see you both kneeling during the anthem.
Oh, I'm going to whack it, actually. I'm going to whip out my pants and just start whacking it.
I just don't want to get shot. Like, I'm in the States for 4 days. I'd like to not get murdered.
I think it'd be funny. You could just be like, I'm Canadian.
No, I'll just be like, hey, where's my anthem? What the fuck is this?
It's when it starts playing, we just go, oh, Canada.
Canada knows.
Oh, yeah. That'll be even better.
Yeah, I'm going to get shot for sure.
I think at every third down, you should be like, why aren't they punting?
Yeah, punt.
That's
what
really
the
risky.
Fuck is this?
Third
punt,
and.
Punt, you idiot. It's the third down. What the fuck?
Why are the end zones so small? Shit.
I mean, there's so many goddamn players on the field.
Oh, less players.
How many?
There's
so
one less player.
How come there's not enough players on the field?
You like make these comments like really loudly to each other.
Yeah. Why aren't they punting? It's the third down. We're doing it at the Browns game. We're going to say every third down. Why the fuck aren't they punting it?
They're be like, man, they're really ballsy for going for it on third and long.
They're always going for it on the third down. These guys are fucking nuts.
Hey, beer guy, got a Molson Canadian?
You got any Labatt?
Hey, Labatt Blue is in the States.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We have to ask for Molson products that
are,
of course.
Speaking of nothing to do with Molson, let's talk about some Harvey Weinstein news, guys.
All right, let's start molest some chicks. I mean,
yeah, not really. It's a Kevin Spin twist.
Speaking of Donald Trump, there was this. Oh, never mind.
We are huge fans of Kevin Smith on the show, so
huge.
I figure if we're going to. Huge. If we're going to talk Harvey Weinstein, it might as well be with a Kevin Smith twist. The Harvey Weinstein sexual harassment stories have pervaded every corner of the internet for the past few weeks, leading other actresses in Hollywood to share their stories of unsavory encounters and also leading people who were involved with Harvey Weinstein to talk about their experiences. One of the people to speak out has been Kevin Smith, who admitted during his Babylon podcast that his entire career is tied to the man, and he's looking for ways to make amends with the money he has made off someone who has reportedly used women. He said that he still gets money for movies he's made with Harvey Weinstein early on in his career, and he's been trying to think about how he can help with the problem. So he's giving some money to women in these sorts of situations. In fact, he's going to be giving it to women in film. So in a nutshell, all of the proceeds, the residuals from Clerks, I guess Clerks 2, I'm trying to think, did he do Mallrats with them as well? I believe he did. Dogma. So he's still getting residuals, not a huge amount, but he's still getting, I would say maybe 10 or 20,000 or something every year, every month. I don't know. Anyways, so he's making money from it. And he says all future residuals he's going to give to women in film. So I think that's kind of cool that he does it. I don't know if he has to really do it. It's not his fault. Although that whole thing is like, how many people actually knew what he was doing and they kind of kept their mouths shut? Kevin Smith doesn't seem like that guy. I might be wrong. He just doesn't come off as that guy. And yeah, he's probably feeling guilty about it. You know, I mean, he tends to be on the liberal side, so I see why he's doing it. I think it's cool to make amends. I don't think he has to do it, but I think it's a nice gesture. I honestly do not think he knew about what was going on. Carp, your thoughts?
I think everybody in Hollywood knew what was going on, just like the Bill Cosby thing. It's just, it was never talked about until finally now it's being talked about.
Okay.
I mean, does he have to do it? No. Is it nice of him to do it? Yes. Does it seem like he's trying to, you know, be like, hey, I'm not the bad guy here. Please don't yell at me. And I'm not sure. I mean, it's being done. It's a good thing he's doing it. I don't know. It's weird.
It's a really fucked up situation, especially for everybody who's worked for him. Because you look at all these clips of like awards ceremonies, people thanking him, saying he's the reason why they're popular. And yeah, the Weinsteins, that's Kevin Smith's career. If Clerks doesn't get picked up, he's still got credit card debt and he's working at the Quick Stop. So it's a weird situation to be in. Heavy set, I want to get your thoughts. Do you think he knew about it? And what do you think about the gesture?
I don't think he necessarily knew about it, but it might have been one of those things within Hollywood that there were beliefs among certain circles. Because let's face it, Hollywood's fucking big. Probably belief within the circle that he did it. And there's obviously the ones that maybe did know, or maybe a lot of the victims never really talked about it until now. I commend what Kevin Smith's doing, because actually when I think of, you know, Weinstein, I think of Kevin Smith and I think of, you know, Clerks 2. Seeing him give back like this is really pretty cool.
All right, next article, why Netflix isn't worried about losing Marvel and Disney content. And I actually heard about this at work. They've got these like CNBC and fucking business news or whatever on in the background. I work with a bunch of traders. And they were mentioning about how Netflix was losing all this Marvel content. What I didn't realize reading this article was that actually they didn't have any American rights to it already. It was only in the Netherlands, Australia, and Canada. So, and these aren't big market. I mean, they're decent markets for them, but they're not their biggest market. So they don't really give a shit. And at the end of the day, I believe that Netflix is going more towards an HBO route where they're trying to push their own properties, because they know in the future, guys like Disney and that are companies like Disney are going to want to keep their own properties. And they're going to, because they see how Netflix is doing, and they figure the long-term game is to have their own kind of site, which I think is not going to work. Question, we'll start with Heavy. Your thoughts on them losing the Netflix in Australia, Canada, and Netherlands. Do you agree with me they're going the HBO route and they're going to make pretty much just their own properties? And do you see another big player making it in the movie streaming service, or is this a bad idea?
I think Disney is going to do well from this, because I feel like there's a lot of parents out there that if they know that there's one place that they can get all the Disney's titles, including Marvel, they're going to pay for it. It's going to be a way to keep their kids quiet. I don't know if this will sacrifice Netflix subscriptions, though. I mean, right now, even in my household, I'm subscribed to 4 different subscriptions. Actually, no, 3, and me and my girlfriend share between 2 different ones, where I think I get Hulu, she gets Netflix, but we share everything on that. It makes sense for them to make their own money on it.
Carp, do you agree? Do you think Disney has a chance of, you know, making their own platform? And your thoughts about Netflix losing the rights?
Here's the thing with Disney. They own Star Wars. They own Marvel. Those are huge. Here's one thing that the parents will go for. So I was listening to the Mr. Skin podcast. Netflix has the highest nudity per show on any streaming or television service right now. I figured that
was HBO with the dick Game of Thrones.
So it's like Netflix. I forget what else they said. And then it's HBO. HBO's third. And HBO right now, like, they have gigantic named actresses fully naked in things like The Deuce and Game of Thrones, like Queen of the Dragons. Like, she was nobody. She says she's not doing nude scenes. She does a nude scene again. Deuce is huge. Fuck. You got me saying it now, you cocksucker.
Huge.
True Detective, Alexandra Daddario. She's never done a nude scene until then. So with parents not having to worry about their kids possibly coming across nudity, it'll definitely draw them. It'll depend on the price point too. I mean, if you're talking same price point as Netflix, yeah, people will go for it. If they go for like $25 a month, nobody's going to pay that for just Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars.
All right, next news story. Does James Bond need Christopher Nolan? Bond 25 has become one of the most mysterious upcoming blockbusters, and true to the nature of its central tuxedo-clad character, the finer points of the film's development have become difficult to pin down. We know that Daniel Craig is returning, but a director has yet to be announced. Because of this, many rumors about possible filmmakers have entered the equation, such as Blade Runner 2049's Denis Villeneuve, Hell or High Water's David Mackenzie, 71 Jan Demange, and perhaps most notably Christopher Nolan.
It's a moose.
Most notably, the possibility of Nolan stepping behind the camera for Bond 25 has become even more plausible based off a recent rumor floated by Hollywood Life suggesting that he's the top choice for the job. The report already has many fans wondering if this is the right move for the Bond franchise. Okay, so they're talking about pros and cons in it. Here's the thing, like, so I'm going to be a bit biased here because Nolan is, like, by far my favorite director specifically for the Dark Knight trilogy, of course, Inception. So the guy has a knack for big budget blockbusters. We've seen with Dunkirk, even he can make a World War II movie fucking great too. The guy's a proven box office moneymaker, and just his name attached to it, the guy has, he's one of the few directors that has drawing power. You see that name, you're like, I have to watch this. Well, in my case, anyways. So I think it's a fucking great mix, and it would give a nice little edgier twist to the Bond franchise. I think it's a great idea. Carp, you agree?
It's the con, which I completely agree with, which is why I wouldn't cast him. The small action fight scenes, like that is something part of Bond. And Nolan's shown that he can't direct a small fighting scene. He needs big, elaborate things happening around for a fight scene. Even when it was just Bane versus Batman in The Dark Knight Rises, there was other action going around to hide the problems that were that fight. And that is something he would big time, like they said, have to clean up. As well, Bond isn't a Nolan movie. Bond is something of its own. And I don't think if Nolan tried to make it his own style, it wouldn't work with Bond.
You know what? I see your point there. But I think it would just be a nice take on it. And I think Nolan could say, okay, I'll work with that style and kind of give his own little twist to it. So, but definitely your opinion. Heavy set. Do you agree with Carp or do you agree with me?
He hates us both.
Yeah, equally, yeah.
You're both wrong. You're both fake news. Actually, I'm not really a big Bond fan. So this is just a complete outsider's perspective on it. And that's, I don't think Bond needs Nolan. I feel like Bond is bigger than Nolan. Probably some could say the same thing about Batman, but Batman really needed it. I don't feel Bond really suffers as much. Maybe it's not as big deal as what it used to be, but I still feel there's a lot of fans out there of the James Bond series. And it's very reminiscent of Doctor Who, of there being like, who's your favorite Bond? Who's your favorite Doctor? I just don't feel that he needs to be the director. I think it would be kind of cool to see which direction he would take it. But as a need, I'm going to say no.
I agree. Like, it's not necessary. But to me, that's like the icing on the cake. It would push me to go see the movie. Okay, movie review of the week coming up. The The Foreigner, which is on my radar. I definitely want to check it out, probably beginning of next week, depending on what Karp thought of it. Karp, go ahead.
It was good. I liked it. Remember how we were like, oh, man, Arnie had an emotional role in Maggie. What the fuck? Repeat that for Jackie Chan. He, like, cried and stuff. It was really weird. It's not something you see at Jackie Chan. Like, he looks old. Like, he hit that Asian cusp, you know, where...
Oh, yeah, when he goes 65, he turns, like, to 105,
where,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, where he went from young, still action-packed Jackie Chan to old man Jackie Chan. That's that happened. Pierce Brosnan as the one of the characters in it. He did a good job. I like the whole political terrorism angle behind it. It's basically about IRA attacks England, as they show in the trailer, and then Jackie's in the trailer, his daughter gets blown up, and so he's going after, like, he wants names, and he's blaming the wrong people, or he thinks he is. I mean, he played a great, kind of almost Taken-like role, you know? I guess Hollywood's grabbing the old retired action stars and making them relevant again. It's like, hey, guess what? Your 75-year-old dad might be able to save you. Probably not, but still, just imagine it. I could see why it's getting some negative reviews, a lot of negative reviews, actually. It could have been shorter by about 25 minutes, but still definitely worth the Cheapy Tuesday, since that's when I went was Cheapy Tuesday. I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
Well, you went on Tuesday?
Yeah, I went yesterday with Watsuki.
You told me you couldn't go.
I told you I couldn't make it downtown.
Oh, okay.
And you don't listen because you're a jerk and you only think about yourself.
Yo, fuck you, man. And you say you don't. I misinterpreted what you said. It's your fucking fault. Let's get into the weekend box office.
Okay, that's it. I'm totally spoiling it. Okay, so in the...
I was going to hang up on you again, but...
I know, because you're a jerk.
I don't think it's fucking stabbed.
I wouldn't stab you. I'd just punch you in the face really hard.
Happy Death Day. What the fuck was that?
Horror Groundhog Day.
Oh, amazed. 29 mil. I'm telling... Cartman, is this the dawn, the age of the horror movie, because it was doing fucking amazing. I didn't even heard of this, and it opens to 26 with a budget of $5 million.
It's on my list of movies to check out. We were supposed to watch it this weekend, but we just weren't able to fit it in. I think we're trying to do it. Actually, we're doing it Saturday.
When I first saw the trailer, I'm like, this looks awesome. I can't wait to see this. And then it's like, oh, The Foreigner the same weekend. Shit. There's two movies I have to go see now, but I can only make it to one. And Watsuki wanted to see The Foreigner, so we settled. But yeah, $4.8 million budget, $29 million.
I mean, we're seeing now, week after week, these horror movies just doing fucking great box office.
I mean, if it's an original thing, like this is... I know it's, you know, Groundhog Day horror, but it's an original movie. Yeah, it was a remake, but it was a hard R remake. People are going to see R-rated movies again, and it's showing with the weekend numbers. I mean, what percentage is that? $29 million on a $5 million budget.
That's fucking good.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's all it needs to be.
It's got a small foreign, but I don't even think it released in that many markets. Million.
I mean, it's already made like its money five times over. Like,
okay, and it hasn't been released in the UK. It hasn't been released in other larger foreign markets. So, yeah. No, I definitely want to see this at some point.
It's where I think cinema is going to go, is we're going to see more of these people taking more chances on these smaller budgets and just fucking going for it. More R-rated stuff, more kind of content that might have been not censored, but brought down to a PG-13. There's more of a market for something edgier now. We see that in HBO, Netflix, all kinds of stuff. People like edgy. Happy Death Day, yeah, number one. Blade Runner 2049, another disappointing week, a 52% drop. Total domestic...
Yeah, could have reviewed that too.
Oh, would you like to?
It's really long. It could have been about an hour less. I mean, it was good, but it like, if it's a good movie and it doesn't feel long, that's one thing, but it's a good movie that felt long.
Okay. So, worth going to see?
Definitely on a Tuesday. And like, if you could do Cheapy Tuesday IMAX, I would definitely do it. I was pissed off because we could only go to normal 3D and just like Friday nights, because just staring at the computer screens all week is fucking up my eyes now. So it didn't help seeing it in like bad 3D in LaSalle. So okay. Maybe that took a little off it, but... I mean, the story's great. And Gosling does a great job. His, I'll say, girlfriend, as you find out. You would love it because it's like Her. You know the movie Her with ScarJo?
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, you'd be like, oh my God, my girlfriend on the screen because I'm never going to find love of real woman.
I totally relate to it. That
makes total sense. Yeah. Jared Leto wasn't it just the right amount?
So. For some reason, I thought you meant, you're going to say Jared from Subway. I don't know. Yeah, Jared Leto. Okay. I don't know why. The Foreigner, number three, $13 million. Total domestic of $13 million on a $35 million budget. It's got a foreign of 88. Jackie Chan is still a fucking draw, man. Good for him.
Did you see where a quarter of that 88 was from?
China?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
IT, $6 million. Total gross of $314. Fantastic. The Mountain Between Us, $5.7 million. Total domestic of $20 million. American Made, $5.5 million. Total domestic gross of $40. Kingsman The Golden Circle, $5.3 million. Total domestic of $89. The Lego Ninjago movie.
Whoa. Check out the foreign numbers on Kingsman.
Oh, hello. Not bad, buddy.
So,
well, I get it that it have a more European draw. It comes off as like kind of a Bond-esque European draw. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Ninjago movie, $4.3 million, a total domestic of $51 million. No budget information on this one, but it does have a worldwide gross of $97 million. Normally, what is it, $60, $70 million for those types of movies. My Little Pony, the movie, debuts at $4.1 million. Oh, sorry, second week. 53% drop, $4.1 million total domestic of $15. And running off the top 10, Victoria and Abdul, $3 million total domestic of $11 million. Upcoming movies for this week. What do we got?
There's a couple, man.
Oh, yeah, a couple of big ones. Geostorm. Let's pull up a trailer for Geostorm. One moment, please.
Senate committee will now hear from Jacob Lawson, Climate ISS Chief Coordinator. May the record reflect that he was nearly 1 hour late.
Yeah, sorry about that. I literally had to fly in from outer space.
Thanks to a system of satellites, natural disasters have become a thing of the past. We can control our weather.
Mr. President. One of our thermospheric satellites malfunctioned over Afghanistan.
So your proposal is what?
We shut down all satellites.
I don't need to remind all of you how many people died from catastrophic climate conditions.
Make sure there's no further incidents.
Are you going back up to space?
I'm coming back. I promise.
Have a safe trip, sir.
Just don't touch anything.
Main engine start.
This is Mr. Jake Lawson.
The Jake Lawson?
You look much older than I would have thought.
I mean, you look good.
Am I getting fired?
My access has been blocked.
So satellite has a bad comm, that happens.
Not a satellite, all of them.
This wasn't a malfunction. It was intentional.
There's potential for catastrophic weather events on a global scale.
A geostorm. We have to shut the system down.
The only one who has the kill codes is the president.
I need your help.
You're soliciting a Secret Service agent. Seriously? We're kidnapping the president in a self-driving cab.
Jake, if you can't stop it, no one can. Three.
You're committing treason.
Oh, yeah, I kidnapped the president. I've stolen state secrets.
Yeah, anything I'm forgetting, honey?
Honey.
Geostorm, starring Gerard Butler. This is what mixes. This is like Independence Day mixes with Twister or some fucking, just a mix of.
It's like Day After Tomorrow mixes with Inconvenient Truth.
Yeah, I mean, listen, big budget blockbuster here, trying to control the weather using fucking satellites and freaking lasers. I think it's an interesting movie. It's a popcorn flick. Maybe a Tuesday for me. So it's going to be a yay for me, Carp.
And I'm probably going Friday with Watsuki. I mean, we love our natural disaster, world-ending style movies. And it's got some, you know, Gerard Butler, Abby Cornish, Andy Garcia, Ed Harris. It's got some names in it, man.
It's got some good background characters. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. I'm going to see it.
Heavy set.
Nay.
Wow. I figured you'd be into this. All right. Only the Brave is next up. Here we go.
I worked this blaze near Montana. In the blink of an eye, there's fire everywhere. And then charging out of these flames comes this bear on fire. It was the most beautiful and terrible thing I've ever seen.
I heard you guys had some slots available.
You lost or?
We got one slot open. You know what we're training for?
Hot shots get to engage the fire directly.
The SEAL Team 6 of firefighters.
If you give me a chance, I won't let you down.
Sooner or later, the fire's gonna come knocking in our hometown. We've been training for over 4 years. We've got all our hours, all our qualifications. But until we're certified hot shots, my crew won't even be able to set foot on the line.
I told you it wouldn't be easy.
You wanna talk about it? Or you wanna do your John Wayne thing?
It's not easy sharing your man with a fire.
Take this little stinker.
He's not a stinker.
Bye.
Bye.
I want y'all to breathe in this beautiful vista. Because you're never going to be able to look out into the wilds and see that pure beauty again.
If this ain't the greatest job in the world, I don't know what is.
What is that?
Fire's threatening homes and people's lives. I want Granite Mountain.
There it is. Your hot shots.
I just had a daughter, and I just really want to give her what I never had.
The fire gets past our line, it goes to our town.
Myrna, we're seconds away. It's going to feel like the end of the world. As long as you can breathe, you can survive.
She's barely seen you for the past few months.
I'm sorry.
Y'all are heroes.
No one could be prouder of his boys than I am of you guys.
Only the Brave, starring Josh Brolin. This is apparently a true story of the Granite Mountain Hotshots. It's their heroic story of one unit, local firefighters that, through hope, determination, and sacrifice, and the drive to protect families, communities, and our country, become one of the most elite firefighting teams in the country. Cart, is this on your radar?
Nay.
Heavy set?
Nay.
Only the Brave. Not a lot of fans on this panel. It's also a nay for me. Just not a fan of this, like, over-the-top fucking heroic shit. Like, it's been done with, man. I want to see some fucking... I want to see some people on balance beams jumping on nails and shit.
I want to see violence and boobs.
Yeah, violence and boobs, man. That's all we need. That's the only thing this trailer's missing. All right, we've already seen a trailer for The Snowman and the other two, Tyler Perry, yeah. So that's going to be it for this week. Let's get to Carp's Bargain Bin.
You are such a piece of shit.
Oh, hey, Kev.
Hey, let's chill.
But I'm a piece of shit.
That's true.
I'm Kevin Owens, and this is Sami Zayn, and we're best friends. Hug me. Cult of Chucky on Netflix. It was great. I really liked it. Can't say much without spoiling much of it. If you're a fan of Child's Play / the good guy doll, the murderous Chucky doll, go check it out. It was exactly what a Chucky movie is supposed to be. And they leave it open for another one. So give it a shot. It's free on Netflix. Hell, I'm probably even going to buy the Blu-ray because apparently there's a part where, because Fiona Dourif, Brad Dourif's daughter, Brad Dourif is the voice of the good guy doll, Chucky, and his real-life daughter, and he sits down with her and voices Chucky, and she talks to her father as Chucky, which is supposed to be pretty cool in the Blu-ray. So if I watch it on Netflix and I'm buying the Blu-ray, I highly suggest you check it out. For me, it's a solid 8.5 out of 10 for a bargain bin.
Awesome. Cult of Chucky on Netflix. Yeah. Check it out.
Like I said, I can't say anything without spoiling the movie. And if you've seen all the other ones, why the fuck not watch this one?
Maybe back. All right. Thank you very much, Cart. Plugs, final thoughts. Mr. Heavyset, go for it.
I got nothing.
Cart, what do you got?
For me, at Killer Carpe Diem, my other big show, allbeerinside.com, at allbeerinside or allbeerinside@gmail.com. We recorded last Friday, the 13th. And it'll probably be out in 2 weeks or so. I haven't touched it yet, but I will shortly. And I've got a bunch of free weekends coming up, so I'll be doing some editing. That's it. Oh, and tweet us for and email us for anything you want us to talk about on the next one. Just like Living Legend suggested, replacing any song title with the word beer in it.
Yeah, I didn't get any good in, but there are a couple of good ones. All right, so for Carp Heavy Set, this is Old School saying thank you very much for listening.
Before Star Trek Discovery forces you to boldly subscribe where no one has subscribed before, celebrate the 30th anniversary of the Star Trek spinoff that gave rise to the ultimate nerd question. Kirk or Picard?
Engage.
Star Trek, The Next Generation. Your dad loved the original Star Trek's mix of campy aliens, cheesy dialogue, and Razzie caliber acting.
I'm Captain Kirk!
Now, get ready for the original series' geeky younger brother, featuring new aliens, more complex stories, and acting that's way better than Star Trek deserves in this kinder, gentler sequel, where crew members discuss their feelings, celebrate each other's cultures, and fight with their words, not their fists.
I hereby formally request third-party arbitration of our dispute.
You have the right.
Furthermore, pursuant to subsection D.
Oh man, being civilized is boring. Warp into the 24th century with an all-new USS Enterprise, an awkward hybrid of cutting-edge space battleship, and a Marriott Convention Center.
Members of the Archaeology Council, I want to tell you about my detective story.
And meet an all-new crew, Counselor Troy, an empath who can always tell when someone's lying, except when she can't.
What do you think?
It's hard to tell. I sense nothing.
What is it?
I don't know. Something.
Geordi LaForge, a blind engineer who's here to say tech words.
A cosmic string emanates a characteristic set of subspace frequencies as atomic particles decay along its event horizon.
Worf, a warrior who never runs out of Klingon fun facts.
Klingons do not laugh.
Klingons do not surrender.
Klingons do not procrastinate.
Klingons do not allow themselves to be probed.
Lieutenant Commander Data, an android who drops being an android into conversations, like your friend who just became a vegan.
Why do you have yellow eyes? I am an android.
You're not human.
I'm an android.
You sound like you don't want to be an android.
I am an android.
I'm an android.
Will Riker, the horniest first officer in the fleet, who's never met a woman, hologram, co-worker, amnesia-stricken crew member, or genderless androgynous alien he didn't want to bone.
Commander, tell me about your sexual organs.
Dr. Crusher, who's just kind of there most of the time. Her son, Wesley, whose genius is matched only by his skill at irritating people.
I know this may finish me as an acting ensign.
Shut up, Wesley.
I don't think this is my style.
Shut up, kid.
May I point out that...
Shut up, Wesley.
Everybody needs somebody.
Enough!
And Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Make it so.
The most British Frenchman in the galaxy.
Tea Earl Grey, hot. Excellent tea. Good day.
Watch world-class actor Patrick Stewart remain fully committed to his dialogue, even when the writers clearly fell asleep on their keyboards. You remember the Romulans, Klingons, and Vulcans from the original series. Now, get ready for all new species, with all new ways to glue prosthetics to people's faces. Like the best Star Trek villains ever, the Borg.
Resistance is futile.
The Ferengi, literal buttheads in serious need of a dental plan. Q, an omnipotent trickster with a serious man crush on Captain Picard.
Morning, darling.
And the Kardashians, omnipresent leather-skinned tyrants bent on galactic domination. I'm sorry, what's that? Oh, sorry. And the Cardassians, omnipresent leather-skinned tyrants bent on galactic domination. Not sure which one I prefer. Journey to a sci-fi utopia where poverty, racism, and war are things of the past. And forget the original Star Trek's miniskirt boys club.
Now, she does a good job, all right. It's just that I can't get used to having a woman on the bridge.
Because on this Enterprise, the future is Woke.
Klingons appreciate strong women.
We no longer enslave animals for food purposes.
I have decided to allow my child to choose its own sex and appearance.
At least most of the time. Okay, well, at least things are better, right? I mean, the ladies aren't all stereotypical anymore.
I never met a chocolate I didn't like.
Damn it, Troy! So relive one of the greatest pieces of science fiction ever created, full of unforgettable moments and a few that they wish you would forget, like the time the gang met Mark Twain.
Shame on you, Mr. Clemens, shame.
The one where Captain Picard turns into a kid.
I need to see him now! Now, 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 now!
And the episode where Dr. Crusher inherits a lamp that contains a space ghost.
Didn't light that candle.
Why not?
It'll bring the ghost.
Who she porks until it reanimates her grandmother's corpse and attacks her friends.
Beverly, it's all right.
You're not Nana. Nana's dead.
Are we sure this is as good as we remember? Starring original series cameos, Data Interrupted.
And what Klingons do to their children?
Data, I am not talking about parenting.
He betrayed the colonists and would have betrayed the Enterprise as well had I not... Shh! The unhatched eggs of a large scaleless...
Later, Data.
Death fakeouts.
Geordi's dead. We're dead, Geordi.
We are not dead.
You're dead.
He's dead. You killed him. No!
Doppelgangers. Picard meme faces. That one lightning effect.
Red alert!
Palm punches. Acting!
No! You've just committed an act of utter barbarity! Not good enough, damn it! Not good enough! There are four lives! I do love you!
Anyway, I'm not much of an actor.
The Picard Maneuver. The Riker Maneuver.
Dr. Pulaski's being shown to her quarters.
You may want to start with something like this here.
You don't look like a person who came here to relax.
Something's wrong?
Counselor Troy's ill.
Okay, Morta.
Concerts. Lots and lots of concerts. Seriously, so many concerts. And Worf getting his ass kicked. Star Trek, The New Class. But seriously, go back and watch the episode where Dr. Crusher bones a space ghost. It's just, it's amazing.
Oh, Ronan. I had no idea I could feel this way.
We're nearly merged now.